Welcome to Midland Classical Academy's Good Night Dad podcast. Our promise is to partner with parents to develop Christ-like leaders. Now here are your hosts, General Eccles and Brandon Schumann.
Thanks again for joining us at the Good Night Dad podcast. This is episode 18. I'm General Eccles, joined by Brandon Schumann. Hey, Brandon.
Hello, guys.
Today, we're going to be talking about the ebb and flow at the upper school. If you missed it, we had Amy Avampato on talking about the ebb and flow at the grammar school. That was a really beneficial podcast for a lot of people, particularly grammar school parents. We want to replicate that today, Brandon, with the upper school. Give us an idea and a feel of the total package throughout the year, month by month. Tell us what we need to know.
Just like you said, it's really helpful to know what's coming up and what the expectations are and being able to cast vision as dads for your family and knowing here's the kinds of things that your son or daughter may be encountering while they're at the school and helping them navigate through that. Just jumping in kind of like Amy did, I'm going to follow her pattern and just say what the expectations are for August. So jumping into August, volleyball and cross country start up in August. Generally, I think it's the first week. Maybe the second week, I'm not totally sure, but I know when I'm going up to school in preparation for the forthcoming school year, I often see volleyball teams practicing a couple times a day or cross-country kids running early in the mornings. That's really kind of the beginning of school where a lot of culture's made. You see some excitement from students if they're involved in those sports. Obviously, the first time that we have everybody coming together is our orientation where students pick up their books and that's when we give them assignments for the next week. Homework starts a week before classes do. It's an opportunity to kind of set the tone and set the vision for new beginnings of what this upcoming school year is going to look like.
We've talked about that a little bit before, Brandon, but just especially for dads to be able to seize on whenever you can detect within your family, it becomes really obvious toward the end of the summer that everybody's ready to get back to it on a certain level, maybe on different levels, but just encourage dads to really seize on that. Whenever you can detect that within the family, then really start engaging and just begin to discuss and anticipate the year to come.
Some things to help with beginning to reestablish some of these routines of getting to bed before, say, midnight or getting up before 10 a.m. I know that's how I operated as a teenager and sometimes do during the summer as well, even as an adult, but just trying to re-regulate our body to the routine and rhythm of the school year. Once classes start, there's generally a lot of excitement and enthusiasm. There's no revisions to be made yet. So everything is just kind of new and fresh. Probably the most anxious new project that students encounter is in the eighth grade with reading their first great book of the Iliad. That's always a real big moment that takes place the first week of school, which is typically the last week of August. August, new beginnings and re-engaging in what's to come. A lot happens in September. Two major things that immediately stand out are RT night, usually the second week of school, that second Thursday night, which more often than not falls the first week of September, is where we have our roundtable night. Juniors and seniors are paired up as RT leaders, and they're going to mentor younger students. It's kind of campy and fun and lots of excitement and sugar and costumes. And it's an opportunity for just a bunch of craziness to take place to form these RT groups where these juniors and seniors find out which students are in their group that they're going to be mentoring throughout the year. What we mean by mentorship is just being their friend, giving them somebody to talk to that's a little bit older, giving them a place of belonging. And the younger students, those that have been at the school for a while, really look forward to finding out their RT leaders. It's always a real highlight and a lot of energy's put into it. And then new students is really what RT groups are for, is to give them a place of belonging to connect to the school. There's just a really big deal of RT night. I think RT night's just a big deal. The second thing that is really impactful that takes place in September is 3 or 4 weeks into school, we take our high school retreat. The juniors and seniors leave on a Monday and they travel to Medina, Texas, about half an hour west of San Antonio to Deer Creek camps. And then the sophomores and freshmen join them on Tuesday. And it's a time to set the tone for what juniors and seniors want to be like as leaders of the school. For my money, that's really where seniors, before they go on retreat, they come to school and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm a senior. Where was last year's class? But by the time they leave retreat, they come back and they have really owned that mantle, the full transfer of power from last year's class to this year's class. And freshmen and sophomores and juniors really also get to see school in a different light, get to see classmates and staff members and in a different setting. And a lot of formative relationships are founded and built and forged during the fun of that high school retreat.
What does that week look like for 7th and 8th graders?
7th and 8th graders stay at MCA, and they take classes very similar to how they would any other week, with two key differences. One is we are done with the day at 12:15, so that the actual scheduling of classes changes a little bit. The normal times that they meet is slightly different. And then the second thing is, as we do some small group games and vision casting for 7th and 8th graders, like we tell them, here's what it means to be an MCA night. These are MCA values. And then we do some group games and group activities that cause students to encounter and try to overcome obstacles or challenges together in a fun, exciting way, and then process through some of that. On that Friday of that week, we do a large service project and go out into the community. Two things that we've done the last 2 years is we've sent about 40 kids over to the Senior Care Center, which is just down the road, and put on a carnival for them. And then another thing that we've done is helped out Matt Waller's foster care support group called The Attic, whether that's cooking meals or helping. And so that's a big part of just discovering greatness, is go use the gifts of being a junior high kid and go bring smiles to people that don't get to see youth at a senior center, or go help families that are trying to adopt or take care of foster kids. Those are two big things in September that take place. The following week after retreat, or junior high week, is also kind of a new beginning and a reset in a lot of ways as well, because you get all of summer, then you get 3 weeks of school, then you get, for the high school anyway, another week of summer, and then it's like, oh, now you're back into the thick of it, and it's trying to restart and reengage and kick back up again. And it's usually during that last week of September that the first set of Great Books papers are due. Oftentimes right before junior high week or high school retreat, you get your first algebra test or math tests. And so you start getting your first big assignments that start coming in. And with that, that also gives students the opportunity of being in school for a month to start doing revisions, because they've done their first assignments and maybe they didn't do as well as they'd like, but now they have that back into their possession. And they can really begin to start doing those revisions early. And that can pay off huge dividends for later on, if nothing else, in just getting in the habit of doing revisions, as opposed to not doing them and then letting things build up and mount, and then you've got a pile of work to do later on in the semester. Another thing is, parents, or at least be aware of, is because this is the beginning of the year, grades can really fluctuate a lot in September. So a student could turn in two assignments and do well, and then do poorly on another assignment, and then suddenly they've got a 60 average. And then they revise it, and then they're back to an A+. The grade book in RenWeb can really swing wildly during September. That will stabilize as more data gets put into the system and the cement dries. It's something to be aware of, that, hey, you've got a low grade, what are you doing about it? Let's adjust. But it's not something that you need to freak out about as a parent of, like, oh my gosh, you've got a 60 right now, what's happening? It may be that they did poorly on one assignment and they have an opportunity to adjust and improve, and it's easily solved. If they've got a 60 and it's February, that's a much bigger problem than it is in September.
What about October?
October is really the month where the rhythm begins to set in. You begin to settle in. Basketball starts up. Basketball practices start up in October. And this is the time where, if the grades aren't where you want them to be, there's enough data in the system that there's a pattern that's here. And so I'll tell students kind of beginning October, if your grades aren't what you want it to be, it means you need to change your behavior and change how you're doing things. Because if you continue doing things, then your grade is more or less going to be what it is now. It's just going to be a lot harder to adjust and fix that or improve that later on. So if by October grades aren't meeting your expectations, or your students aren't meeting the expectations that you're setting on them, that's a time to engage with them and or their teachers and say, okay, how can we do better? What do we need to do differently? MH projects come out in October. That's the month where students can apply for MH projects. Sophomores and juniors, second or third week of October, take the PSAT test. They take that on a Wednesday morning, and so all their classes are canceled for that morning for them to be able to take the PSAT test. The senior thesis ideas need to be solidified by the end of October. For seniors who present their senior orals, they know, this is the idea that I'm going for, and that idea is approved by their tutor at the end of the month. Seniors who help out with senior projects, a lot of September is mostly kind of getting geared with, what's my role in the class, grading, serving my tutor. That's getting solidified and adjusted. And then for October, it begins to shift more towards, okay, in preparation for the senior thesis that they'll present in the spring. When you get to November, in a lot of ways, November is kind of an extension of that rhythm in October because you kind of have retreat to Thanksgiving break, or kind of a way I think of it, rather than, okay, month to month. As you get to November, basketball games begin starting, and basketball is the most popular sport. I don't know if that's necessarily true numbers-wise, but it's definitely one that kind of gets and attracts the most attention. But basketball games begin to start in November. Volleyball playoffs take place. Cross-country state meets take place. Powerlifting starts early in the morning if you're a really brave soul to join that. And then usually kind of early November to right before Thanksgiving, you have your mid-November tests. So a lot of the big assignments of the first semester tend to be due sometime between the beginning of November to Thanksgiving. That's something to be aware of, that you may have two or three big projects, depending on the classes that your students are taking, that come at that moment. And November is where things start feeling just busy, I think, for some of the first time. Like, man, this is where things are getting hard, and the intensity begins to tick up a couple of dials until you get to Thanksgiving break.
The good news is, what we've discovered going into November, everything Brandon's saying is right on track from our experience. As the demand and the load and the difficulty increase, they're getting further and further into the groove to better be able to handle it. Be encouraged in that as parents.
And then you get Thanksgiving break, which is a break. It's a chance to rest, enjoy, a chance to maybe catch up on some revisions if you need to do those things. It's a break, and it comes at a really needed time. And I think probably more than any other break in the year, Thanksgiving break is a breather in a lot of regards. December, there's usually a 2 to 3 week rush between Thanksgiving and Christmas break, depending on how the year's schedule falls out. Students often will turn in a flurry of revisions, maybe because they took advantage of the Thanksgiving break, or they sense the immediateness of, hey, the semester's ending and I want to end the semester on a good note. There's usually a couple of moderate assignments that are in that window. The last week of the semester, there's not a ton that's assigned. It's a bit of winding down and anticipation of the Advent season that's coming forth. And then obviously, with December, you get 3 weeks off that span from the end of December to the beginning of January. 3 weeks off of new assignments in school, et cetera. And that's a time to really enjoy as a family, to make memories. A lot of students will take advantage of that time to knock out some MH projects, or if they know there's a big assignment that's going to be due at some point in the spring semester, we'll work ahead. And I'm not saying that parents need to automatically make their kids do those things, but those are just different opportunities that, depending on your children's strength or weaknesses or their interests, things that are available and at your disposal of ways to utilize those breaks and that time off.
Well, that gets us halfway there. What does the spring have for us?
So January, seniors come back where the oral is now a very imminent reality. Their rough draft is usually due at some point towards the end of January. They're supposed to have come back having read a book on their topic and conducted an interview with an expert on the topic of their thesis. And most of that takes place over Christmas break. It can take place in November as well. But now they're gearing up towards the senior thesis. And the reality is unavoidable for seniors at that point. In addition to that, just, I guess, more generally speaking, there's a newness again and a freshness again, because you've had 3 weeks of everybody on different schedules, and students, as they're coming back, it's another new beginning, probably the last new beginning of the year in terms of how it feels of, hey, here's something fresh and new. Fine Arts 2, which is a senior level elective class, they typically start their filming in January. Basketball season is in full swing, districts coming up. There's some extracurricular things that really can become demanding or pressing upon students, particularly some of the older students with the different projects that they're heading on. February is, like Amy said, the lull month, and February can put you to sleep. Don't let February put you to sleep. That's a time where even staff can sometimes lose their, why am I doing this? It's the dead of winter. Summer break is still a long way off, and I'm tired. I've been doing this for a long time. The energy rush that you got from Christmas break is gone by February. No major holidays that you get. That's a good time to just recast your why and say, okay, why is it that I'm doing this? And just anticipating that's going to be a likely feel that that you may have or that your son or daughter may have. The final prep for orals is taking place for seniors. Basketball playoffs is going on. And for a lot of seniors, the end is coming upon them. Robotics is another thing that's taking place during that time. Just like basketball, you've got a lot of students that are working on robotics for their competitions that take place on the weekends, usually out of town. RT applications are due. So sophomores and juniors that want to be RT leaders the following year are turning in their forms to apply to be RT leaders, and sometimes they get interviewed by board members. And another thing that's taking place during this time for juniors is the mega problem, which sounds scary, especially to somebody that's allergic to math. A project that a lot of students really enjoy and some are terrified of, but it's a long ongoing process that where a lot of growth happens and friendships are forged and deepened, and some students that are not good at math would be going and asking their friends that are good at math to help them sort through it, not do the work for them. But that's another thing that falls into the general season. Which brings us to March. To some extent, by organizing this month to month, it can be good to know when it falls on the calendar. It can be cumbersome to just kind of break things down from month to month. I tend to think of things in stretches of like, okay, beginning of the new year, like January, you come back to spring break. I think holiday to holiday, more so than month to month. So you're getting ready for spring break. Orals begin in March. Then you have spring break, which is the last big hoorah before the really big hoorah of ending the school year. Coming back from spring break, that's not a new beginning time. At that point, students and staff and parents, I imagine, are all hanging on for the final roller coaster of a ride. At the upper school especially, and Amy mentioned this some about the grammar school, from spring break to graduation in the beginning of May, that seven, eight-week period, feels like you do about 3 months or 4 months of life in that. And the reason why is because you're doing all the remainder of the academics and then all the social end-of-year activities that in a lot of schools take place the end of May, happen in April, while you're doing all the intense academics of April. You've got a lot of spring sports that are happening. You've got a lot of different competitions that are going on, whether it's golf or tennis, track.
Baseball,
sometimes softball, as well as a lot of just other spring activities if you're doing extracurriculars outside of school. And for high school students, it's really rare in my high school classes where I'll have every student in class for more than two consecutive days. I almost always have somebody missing for some reason. And that's not to say that it's a bad reason. I mean, sometimes you get sick and sometimes it's, hey, you're going to do your golf state championship. There's not a consistent rhythm that takes place from that post-spring break to graduation, other than it just feels chaotic. And as teachers, we try not to introduce any new concepts and say, hey, let's learn this brand new thing from about April on. I mean, sometimes it's unavoidable, but as much as we can, we try to avoid that to where it's more of a let's build on what we already know. Again, you've got senior orals that are going all through it. If you're attending those, your days go from 7:45 to about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you still have all the remaining things that you got to do. MH projects are due towards the end of March, and then in April, we're planning on having our first MH awards night. It's a rush on a lot of different levels. Everybody's busy doing school, and everybody's busy kind of finishing up their final projects, whether it's Fine Arts 2 finishing their filming and editing and getting ready for the premiere of their movie, or Fine Arts 1 doing their junior plays. In general, it's going to be a busy time, but something that Lee Dunn said at one of the very early podcasts that we had is, it's just a season. April is not forever. And that's a good thing. It's good to have an intense burst, but it's also good that it's a burst and not life forever. I'll tell students a lot of times, especially my American history students, that, hey, this is our chance where we got to just storm the beach. And so here comes the beach and let's go storm it and get through this and overcome these challenges and these trials and enjoy what April has to offer and not just grit your teeth through it. But to enjoy the season for what it is and enjoy the intensity for what it is, as sadistic as that may sound.
Brandon, as a dad listening and just taking notes through this, I really appreciate the practical detail of having what I can literally put on a calendar as far as what's going to be coming up, events, the flow. What I most appreciate is you're understanding and communicating the temperament or the emotional seasons, I guess, through these. And man, just as dads, I just really encourage it. Brandon was just hitting on it, but sometimes it's pretty significant just to be the one as the captain of the ship, so to speak, to just say that this is temporary. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We're coming up on this next thing. And even just that, identifying the next season just communicates that this one is temporary, no matter how intense. I just made a few notes and just want to encourage dads, really just kind of bullet points on this. And focus seems to be incredibly important from the leadership standpoint in the family. And the better that we understand as dads these particular seasons, even detailed months and holidays and how all that falls, helps us to maintain and communicate a focus that helps everybody be a lot more intentional and engaged, and not to just survive those seasons, but as Brandon said, to enjoy them and grow from them. And dads, it's our responsibility to be aware enough to see where adjustments need to be made, and then helping our students make those adjustments that are necessary, whether that's their habits, their sleeping patterns, social, or maybe they've just taken on too much. And there's a lot of times there's hard decisions that had to be made, and we get to participate in helping them navigate those decisions. Encourage dads to be real proactive and supportive as far as MH projects, as well as the oral presentation. Really seize the moment in those holidays. And this is where I think I'm convicted as I consider this is, man, don't just shut it off, but find something incredible to do as a family and something that's ultimately rewarding, not just a level of entertainment, a certain degree of rest, but something that's really rewarding and significant as a family that is memorable and something that they'll cherish. I think more than all, especially as Brandon's talking about the upper school, that calendar, those seasons, listening to Amy Avampato talk about the grammar school, especially toward the end of the first semester and after spring break through the end of through graduation, be real intentional about not taking your foot off the gas. And because that's in our nature as humans, whether you're a man or a woman, and just to let up. And basically the finish line is still in front of you, and just encourage your families. And I'd encourage you, all of us as an MCA family, just to be especially focused and intentional to keep our foot on the gas to finish this school year.
As you do that, what May is it's a chance. We typically have 1 week in May, sometimes two, but that last week of school is generally not intense academically. It's the week of endless ceremonies and practices in a lot of ways. But what those ceremonies are is they're a reflection of the accomplishment that has taken place over the last year and a recognition of the growth as a school and as individuals that took place in every student's life from the time that they came to MCA in August until that May moment. And then especially for seniors as just a kind of a crowning achievement of what it is that they've accomplished throughout their time at MCA. And that's an important thing to do, is just to stop and take stock. By God's grace, this is what took place in our lives this year as we worked hard and submitted ourselves to Him and His will. There's a little bit of a postscript right after graduation. You have the juniors get to go have an extended 2 weeks of school on the American history trip if they so choose to go and have passed all their classes and are eligible to go. That's another week of intensity. And it's sometimes called the junior trip, but it's a little bit of a misnomer because they are the seniors at that point. And what takes place on that junior trip is a lot of history and a lot of learning. But perhaps more than anything else is that's where the senior class is forged as seniors, and the mantle begins to be handed over. It doesn't feel like it's all the way there until after the retreat week in September, but that junior trip week is really important towards, or that senior trip week of the American history trip is really where that begins to solidify. June and July, enjoy summer. I know there's a lot of busyness that takes place in summer, but enjoy it. I like to tell students, read what you want. You need to read something so you can stay sharp, but so much of what you get to read during the school year is on curriculum. In the summer, it's an opportunity to read the things you didn't get a chance to read during the school year. So read the things that you want. If you're a junior, a couple of practical things that I encourage juniors to do is if you're planning on going to college and need recommendation letters, is ask your teachers over the summer, hey, would you mind writing letters of recommendation for me?
Oh, that's good.
Just because as teachers, we get busy too. And when you get it in the summer, you've got the time to kind of do it on your own time as teachers. You're not under the pressure to try to get this in a particular week while you're trying to grade revisions and tests and everything else that's going on. And then it also is less stress and one less thing you have to think about during your busy senior year, because you've already got those letters that are there, whether you're asking teachers or people that know you in the community. And the last thing I tell juniors too is for American history, there's a Killer Angels book, which is about the Battle of Gettysburg. And they can read that book over the summer and then at their own leisure take the Killer Angels test and get that knocked out. And that's one big November assignment that you don't have to do. You don't have to read a 250-page novel over the Battle of Gettysburg. It's easy reading, but 250 pages is still 250 pages. And you can just get a big assignment that is off your November plate and put it on your summer plate, and it's a lot more palatable. Hopefully that's helpful information.
Brandon, it's incredibly helpful. I appreciate order in anything. It just helps me feel more confident about what I'm coming up against as a dad and a parent. I really appreciate the time you've put into it, not just in service to the school and in your role, but specifically to this podcast and laying out this calendar. Listeners, I hope this is valuable to you. If it's not, listen to it again, because there's a lot of value in it. I can attest to that as an MCA dad. So just go forth and carry on.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Goodnight Dad podcast, brought to you by Midland Classical Academy. Engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering greatness.